Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Titus. Now you will find Titus hidden between 2 Timothy and Philemon. So where's Philemon? It's in the Bible. Or it's page 1052 if you have a Bible like mine. Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you." Amen. I'm going to do my best to not let anyone despise me this morning. Disguise me? Oh, well. Hey, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the power that is resident in our lives. You know, as I've mentioned before, quite often, the Word of God is challenging us to things that we have not taken hold of. This series of messages is all about the things that God gave us that came to us from His likeness and image, and that every single person possesses. These things that we've talked about, you can see the list of them up there. First one was choice, the second is innocence. Powerful, powerful things. The power of our choice, the power of our innocence. You don't have to experience everything in this world to be wise. Should be a good amen there someplace. The power to grow and learn. How many are thankful for the power to grow and learn? How many learned something this week? Anybody? And then we talked last week about the power of the tongue. Oh, the power to be able to speak and clarify our thoughts and bless. Amen? How many have encouraged somebody this week? How many have gossiped? Oh, well, we might as well go both sides. Yeah, some of you have. That's cool. You know, the power that we have to bless or to curse. The power that we have to encourage or tear down. It's incredible. I'll not preach that sermon again. This morning, I want to talk to you about the last one, number 5. And that's the power of self-control. Are you excited? It's funny because some of these you act like, you know, as far as from up here, the vantage point, it's kind of like you. This is all foreign stuff to you. But every single one of these we all possess. And we all, really, we possess them in their fullness. And you have to admit with me that there are forces that are trying to pull us one way or the other in these areas of power in our lives. The enemy of our soul wants to possess, if you will, our self-control, at the same time that God is wanting to equip us to be self-controlled. Who's in authority here? Each one of us. Why don't you just say that? Say it out loud. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I get to decide. Edmund Burke said, in a letter to the French National Assembly, "Men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains upon their own appetite. Society cannot exist unless a controlling power upon will and appetite be placed somewhere. And the less of it there is within, the more there must be without." So in other words, the less control that we have of ourselves as individuals, the more our society has to place on us. Boy, you can see that happening, can't you? As men and women are choosing to not control themselves, we are seeing more and more and more restrictions having to be put upon our society. And we groan and we bristle against those restrictions, and yet at the same time, we see how people aren't controlling themselves. That's right. Goff says, "Everything that frees our spirit without giving us control of ourselves is ruinous. For every freedom that we have in our lives that we do not dictate control of our lives, that freedom has the potential to hurt us." Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control." Now, let me say here in the beginning, and I believe it to be true with everything in me, that all of us are given the power to control ourselves. The ability to control ourselves is from God and is innate, that is, in us from the beginning, in every single person. I know what you're thinking. You go, I don't know. I mean, there are some things. Part of the choice that God has given to man is the power to control himself. Adam and Eve did not have to sin. If they did, then all of us are innocent in our sin. And we know that's not true. Adam and Eve made a choice. They surrendered the control of their life over to the voice of a serpent. Cain did not have to kill Abel. He made a choice. Instead of controlling his anger, instead of rethinking the whole situation, he struck out and killed his brother, and then buried him in the dirt. Jacob did not have to cheat on his brother to fulfill the plan of God, which said that the older would serve the younger. You know, we look at that sometimes, we think, well, it must have been necessary for all of that stuff to have gone on in order for God's plan to be fulfilled, because he said in the beginning that the older brother would serve the younger brother. No, my friends, it wasn't necessary for Jacob to have to cheat and steal and carry on in order for God's plan to be uncovered. Those were choices that he made. And it wasn't until he was broken by years of labor that really he came to that understanding and fell before the Lord. Had a wrestling match with God in the middle of the night. David did not have to have Bathsheba. It was a choice. Jesus was not constrained to live a sinless life, but rather he controlled himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. The control of our lives is in our hands. Boy, it would be easier to just hand that off to somebody else, wouldn't it? Last night, I was making my way back over here, and I had had a good dinner. But I began to think about frozen, cold ice cream. But then I remembered that ice cream hurts my stomach. So I thought about yogurt. Frozen yogurt. And then I thought about the pounds that I would put on. And then I dismissed that. And I thought about the cold yogurt. And I went to Jiffy Treat and I went up to the window. I had to get out of the truck and go. Went up to the window and ordered me what they call a cyclone with some cherries in vanilla yogurt. And I sat down waiting for the girl to bring it back, and she came to the window. She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Our yogurt machine is frozen." And I said to myself, well, this is probably the way that it should be. I should just go on over to the church and just forget about the yogurt for tonight. And then I remembered the new yogurt place. And I pull up at the new yogurt place, and who do I see but Tom? And I knew that it was to be. I needed to go in there and fellowship with my brother and sister and get some frozen yogurt. Self-control. Don't you, when you think about self-control, don't you go to the lack of control? How many brain, come on now, I just told you mine. But how many of you, your brain goes immediately to when you weren't able to control yourself or you felt like you weren't able to control yourself? Come on, let me see them one more time. I want some association here. There's a few. Thank you. I don't feel quite so bad with my yogurt. We have the power to control ourselves. Whether it be for frozen yogurt or for what it might be for, we have the power. Now, there are times that you find yourself in situations where that power is yielded to somebody else. When I went into the Navy, and I woke up that first, actually I never slept. I was laying there in the bunk when the guy walked in and threw the can down the aisle and to wake us up. And I'm watching the whole thing and jump up at 3:30 in the morning and go stand outside the cafe or the cafe, mess hall, that didn't open until 5. Stupid. We got there so early. So what do? For an hour, hour and a half. Well, you stand outside and yell obscenities at the top of your voice. Now, didn't make any sense to me. And I thought, well, you know, you've never talked like this your entire life, so why start now? So I just stood there. And lo and behold, there was someone in my face telling me that I had to scream at the top of my voice. And he stood there and helped me. So here I am, Christian kid that I am, screaming these obscenities in the face of this guy that's making me say them. Surreal. But even as I'm doing it, I'm realizing that okay, you got to do it now, but you don't have to do it later. Because you have choice. Control of your life is not in this person's hands. It is in this moment, but it won't be in a few moments, in a few days. Because the ultimate power of controlling our lives is in our hands. We like to say, well, I could not help myself. That could have been my excuse last night with the yogurt. I couldn't help myself. But it's simply not true. I could have helped myself by not having the yogurt. But I helped myself to the yogurt. I could blame Sharon just because. You know, the two shall become one flesh. So all the weak side. The fact that God gave us this ability and has promised His Holy Spirit to enable us and to strengthen us is the reason that He calls us to account to be self-controlled in His Word. I don't have time this morning because we're going to be a short sermon. I don't have time to read you all these texts, but let me show you. You know, he gives us a fruit of the Spirit in our lives, Galatians 5:23, as being self-control. Not a gift of the Holy Spirit, but a fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So in other words, when the Holy Spirit is in and upon our lives, then we will be self-controlled because of the Spirit. He made it a standard for deacons and elders in 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:8. There is a call to expect older men to be self-controlled in Titus 2:2. Oh, and a call of expectation for older women to be self-controlled in Titus 2:5. And a call of expectation for younger men to be self-controlled in Titus 2:6. The call of expectation of self-control is given to all believers in Titus 2:12. So you see, it is an expectation of God that you and I would live self-controlled lives. He wouldn't expect us to do something had He not given us the power. God will never expect something of man He's not already enabled him to do. Amen? All right. Just so that I know that you're still awake, turn to the person next to you and say, I got the power. Yeah. Now listen to this. The will to be self-controlled was lost in the fall. Not the power to be self-controlled, but the will to be self-controlled was lost in the fall. In the choice that Adam and Eve made to listen to the serpent instead of listening to the command of God, they not only sinned, but they surrendered the control of their life to the serpent. Men and women all throughout the world today have given their restraint to someone else or to something, and then say, I can't help myself. Control of their future, the results of their choices, all of it was in their power. The power to be self-control was not lost in the flood. Again, the devil didn't make me do it. The devil didn't make Eve eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What he did was present to her the opportunity in such a way that she then desired it more than she desired the will of God. I'm editing. You want me to edit, or else it's going to be longer. I read a CNN report. I actually just read it, but it actually took place a while back. More than 1,000 firefighters battled a wildfire for 2 weeks in the Black Hills of South Dakota. The fire started on August 24, 2000, and was not contained until September the 8th. Meanwhile, more than 80,000 acres of valuable timber burned. Janice Stevenson, age 46, was arrested on suspicion of starting the fire. She pled guilty to second-degree arson and was sentenced to 25 years in the state penitentiary and ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $42,204,155.48. Federal investigators who filed charges against Stevenson said she admits stopping by the road on August the 24th, lighting a cigarette, and tossing the still-burning match to the ground. Quote, rather than putting out the fire, she looked at it and decided to leave the area. She made a decision to leave that little flame burning that consumed 80,000 acres of ground, cost her 25 years of her life, and the compulsion to have to bring back to the government $42 million. Her choice. Huh? We've got to realize, folks, we are handing our self-control over to others and over to other things. If you're not in control of your life, who is? See, that's really the question that's on the table. Because God gave us the power to control ourselves, if you and I are not controlling ourselves, then who is? The will to live a self-controlled life is part of the salvation experience and the life in Christ. We need to understand that. Looking through the New Testament, and you know something? What's interesting to me is that the Old Testament doesn't talk about self-control. Never references the term self-control. But in the New Testament, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can regain what the enemy has stolen. And what is it? It's not the power. It is the will to be self-controlled. Oh, well. What does it matter? Part of it matters as to who's in control. You? Or somebody else, or something else. What's the big deal? The big deal is you have been given the power to control your life, and you've handed it off to someone else. Young people, the whole thing about peer pressure. You know, what's the big deal about me doing what everybody else does? Well, you just handed the power of self-control, a huge power. It's a superpower. You just handed that power off to some other kid or some other person so that they get to decide what goes on in your life. And listen, sometimes it's ruinous. Because people don't have the same interest in you and your future that you have. Because whatever it is, you know, they may not get caught, but you may. That drug, that alcohol, that whatever that they're wanting you to experiment with may not have the same effect on them that it has upon you. So when you relinquish your innocence and you take it, or you relinquish your self-control and you take it into your body because they are pressuring you to do that, you hand over to them your self-control. And what will be the result of it? You have no idea until you experiment with it. And maybe it has no effect on them, but it could be ruinous to you. The grace of God teaches us to live self-controlled lives. Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 1. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. You see, if you say, I'm a believer, and you do not strive to live a self-controlled life, it's not, the stain is not on you, it is on the Lord Jesus. That's what he's saying. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Does godliness assure us of heaven? No, the blood of Jesus Christ assures us of heaven. But as his children, possessed by him, purchased by him, he's calling us to take hold of the power that God gave us to control our lives. I got the power. Not only does the grace of God teach us, but the Spirit of God enables us. Galatians 5:22, I mentioned it a moment ago, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and self-control. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If there was ever a day, church, that we needed to get a hold of ourselves, it's today. Stop relinquishing the control of your life over to other people and to other substances. Be in control. God's given us the power. Not only does the grace of God teach us, the Spirit of God enables us, but the return of Christ should motivate us. Bringing you back to where we started this morning, talking about the return of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is near, therefore. The end of all things is near, therefore. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. Since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. God has given us the power to control ourselves. We choose whether we will listen to the deceiver, our enemy, or the Holy Spirit of God who will enable us to maintain control no matter what. The enemy of your soul says you're helpless. The Spirit and the Word say you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I wonder if there are some in this room this morning who need to take back control. I'm not going to have you lift your hands, but I am going to say, if it's you this morning, why don't you just bow your heart, your head right now, and let me pray for you. You got the power. You have the power through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit to say to the enemy, get behind me, Satan. You say, oh, but you just don't realize what's got a hold of my life. Yes, but I realize the kind of power that the Lord Jesus has. I realize the kind of power that he has promised to us as believers. He has a provision of his Holy Spirit to enable us to live self-controlled lives. I think it's interesting because in each one of these, he doesn't say to live controlled lives as though his Spirit is going to come and control our life, but he always says to live self-controlled. He wants to empower you, to anoint you and me to control our lives. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we could just say to the Lord, okay, just take over so that I never do anything bad ever again or never do anything harmful to myself, never make any bad choices ever again. Wouldn't that be great? But then we would be a bunch of marionettes going about this earth. And the very first thing that we studied, the power of choice that he gave to us, that free will would be robbed from us. Rather, what he wants to do is to give you and me the power. To be able to control, self-control our lives.